Hi, I'm William Coughlin, director and executive producer of Machinations.
I am Adam Young. I am director of photography for Machinations.
The opening sequence of graphics here was created by a guy named Mike Gower, works for America's Most Wanted, who, as it turns out, I had worked with a number of years before, but this time around was brought in by Larry Contratti, our writer. He was at the writing session Friday, came out to our location on Saturday, took a few pictures of our lead actors here, and while we were shooting, went back and put all of the stuff together with Larry's help, writing all of the text, putting together these articles, and so on.
None of the shots were staged. These shots were taken while everyone was rehearsing for the opening sequence. And the shots were taken, and all of a sudden, our graphics man disappeared and was gone.
One little note, with the exception of the main character, the character Bobby Soxer was of course mandated by the National Film Challenge. All of the characters are named after famous movie or television robots. Rick is named after Rick Deckard from Blade Runner. Rachel and Leon are two of the replicants from that same film. Alex, of course, is Alex Murphy from RoboCop. Vicky is the little robot from Small Wonder. A couple of exceptions. The technician is never given a name. I'd always sort of pictured him as Ash from Alien. And the character of Diane, played by Annie Mueller, was just a concession on the part of the writer. He said, I just want to name her Diane after a girl I knew. We were toying with the idea of naming her Sharon after the character on Battlestar Galactica, but that didn't come to pass. The location here was a kitchen remodeling shop. Previous shots were shot at night, contrasted with the exterior shot that we suddenly see going outside.
Trying to match all kinds of lighting conditions. This is late in the afternoon. Those shots of the opening sequence were when it was dark outside, so we had some of those issues to contend with.
Yeah, we had to put a light outside to sort of shine in, reflect off the ceiling, to create the illusion of light coming here.
We didn't have as much pre-planning as we do in previous pieces. We had scouted the location, but we hadn't really set shots up until we got there.
Yeah, our producer, Pamela Coughlin, had gone to the location and taken a lot of photographs, which gave us some preliminary concepts, so we knew basically what the location was going to be like and could try to work around that. Now, this, of course, was shot during the day, so you can see some lighting outside. This was fairly late in the afternoon. Every time a car drove by on the street outside, the whole place would go into shadow briefly. It looks like some sort of a lighting glitch.
It's just the condition of the location of the cars driving by. We used a dolly for this whole sequence here to follow the actors, so we pulled in, tracking on the dolly, and tracked back forward. Probably took this shot 10 times before we got it exactly the way we wanted it.
We tried to avoid a lot of quick back-and-forth cuts, partly to sort of slow the pace of the piece down. There is also a practical consideration. For every time you do a shot, you have to do a reverse setup, get to set up all the lights and so on. And by doing this, it saved us a lot of time. And actually, Pam ended up taking my assistant director, Kenton Codner, out to go do some preliminary blocking of the next scene so we could be ready to just jump right into the next one as soon as we were finished with one.
We tried to utilize the interesting angles of the warehouse portion of the showroom, trying to give the machine-type feel.
The angular support beams, the square-stacked boxes, the plastic sheeting, and sort of the stark lighting.
The shot where the remote control device slides underneath the cabinets there, that took forever to get. It was hard to get it just to fall back in there.
And actually, the one shot that we have of Andra, our actress, looking up, was an extra shot that we'd gotten during the scenes when they were shooting the remote sliding under the cabinets, because we just didn't have time to set up a reverse angle for that shot and had to sort of grab that out of editing. It just shows a real danger you can run into on a tight shooting schedule, thinking that as the director you can just sort of edit in your head as you go. But the real lesson is not to hamstring your editor by not providing coverage. As it is, we didn't have the shot we needed and we had to loop a line of dialogue later on, so we had to use something, but it really wasn't the ideal choice we would have wanted. I just want to say something about the cast that we have here. Adam and Nello de Blasio, who plays Leon in this, had worked with Andra and Hugh Hill on Quite Contrary, another Tobo production, for which I was executive producer, but I was not on location. So I hadn't worked directly with them before. And in fact, I'd never even met Hugh before we started shooting. Just in terms of figuring out what actors we wanted to use, he just seems like a natural choice of the leader. And I really thought Andra could play this sort of wounded character really well. The other actor I want to mention briefly, Ryan Mulcahy, who we had both worked with briefly on another independent project, not Tohu Bohu related, a short film called Bystander, and again just thought he would be really good for this type of role, and he really amazed all of us. I was really, really impressed with his performance.
These shots were interesting here. It was a very small balcony area that we were able to shoot on, but the reverse shots worked out really well. I was hanging off the balcony trying to get those shots, but they ended up turning out really well. They were also some of the first shots we took during the day. It was very cold in the background there on the shaded side of the building.
Yeah, the actors had to run out into the sun to warm up between takes.
So some of the last shots of the evening here, we were losing our location. It was black outside, so we were trying to light everything up, looking like it was still early afternoon.
And trying to get a little bit of a sort of harsh lighting on her, sort of suggest alienation, We didn't end up doing that with the dolly, again, just because we were running out of time, but also because we wanted a little bit of that handheld look to really suggest her sort of feelings of despair.
It opened
there.
Up some movement in that for a really, could have been a really stagnant shot.
Other actors here, we have Katie Borschelt, who had been in The Big Lie, Stuart Scotton, who's in just about everything we've done, and Kenneth Coughlin, who also happens to be my brother and sort of our in-house counsel. Emily Skelton, a comedian, actress, and director who I'd met at a local film festival. This shot in particular was tough to get because of the very bright background and the dark foreground. They were sort of standing in the shade, unfortunately. But the XL2 camera that we used to shoot this has some really amazing features for doing a lot of detailed work on the exposure to get that to work out right. We did have to do some correction in post-production, but not nearly as much as we would have had to had we been using a different camera. Now, because of the scene, which was the first shot we did on Saturday morning, since we didn't have access to the showroom until the afternoon, we did have to make a last-minute script change. The original plan had been to have Soxer be a U.S. senatorial candidate, but because we didn't have everyone there yet, we couldn't stage a credible rally on that scale, so we had to scale it down, and we ended up with references to him being a state senator. Not quite so big stakes, and we did have to loop that line of dialogue to sort of cover that, but unfortunately that was just reality intruding into the ideal. As it stands, we stuck everyone we had back into that rally scene. Annie Mueller does double duty as a spectator, and our on-set photographer and assistant editor ended up stepping in front of the camera as well. We also had a bit more elaborate action involving the remote breaking, Rick having to put it back together, but we just couldn't accomplish that in the time we had. So that whole process ended up being just a little bit more straightforward. All of Sox's rally dialogue here was improvised on set, as was a lot of the early interactions throughout the film, the stuff that happened in the background that wasn't part of the main action. But one side effect of that was that our reporter ended up getting another non-robot named Sheena in the process. This last shot, rather than a full pullout on the dolly, it's just a sort of zooming the camera out. Our dolly was broken. We couldn't get it to work right, and after spending 45 minutes trying to get it to work, we gave up.
Hugh Hill was rehearsing all morning, and as I was setting shots up for tracking on the dolly, I kept watching Hugh out of the corner of my eye, and I was wondering, what is he doing? It looked like he had a nervous tic, and I felt really bad for him, because I don't recall that when I previously worked with him. Well, no, he was just rehearsing the entire time, which really threw me off for a while, but it was quite comical.
The music was also completely original, written during the weekend we shot this. Brian Wilbur Grunstrom, who I'd met at the DC Shorts Film Festival, put this all together. I was on the phone with him repeatedly throughout the weekend, listening to music cues, starting Friday night when we had just a basic concept, and then continuing throughout the edit on Sunday and Monday, sending rough edits and revisions back and forth online.
One last note there, Bill had to recreate all that closing sequence to try to match the front sequence because our original contact wasn't available to build those at that point. We hadn't thought about that until late in the day.
So, well, that's it. Thank you very much, and we'll talk to you later.